Good morning. At the beginning of the year when I was thinking what I would do for a Christmas message for 2017, I read the very first chapter of Desire of Ages, and I thought, because in the very first chapter there's a message that I think we can all learn from. So that is the foundation for my message for the day. Let's pray. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, as we consider again the wonders of Jesus' love, of your love, Father, in sending Jesus to us, in giving him to us, may we appreciate that anew this Christmas and look upon that baby with respect, knowing that with that baby we had in fact God with us. May we today catch a new vision of that today, is our prayer. Be here by your Holy Spirit, open our eyes that we will see Jesus today. In his name we pray. Amen. In Matthew 1:23, the announcement was made that the one coming shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. But as we consider that babe of Bethlehem, the question begs to be asked as to how true that statement really is. Was this baby that was lying in the manger that night, was it really God with us? It is so hard to think, to comprehend that the one lying there was also back at the beginning of time with the Father, that he was the image of God, that he was in reality a member of the Godhead of heaven. And yet, it was to this sin-sick world that he would come, that we would have a revelation of the wonders of the love of God, that he would be God with us. Therefore, it was said of him that he would be called Emmanuel. But in coming to this place, the question has to be asked, but why? Why come? What was he to achieve in coming to this place? What was his purpose? The first thing was that Jesus came to reveal both to the human race and to angels the love of God. What we need to remember is that Jesus was the Word of God, that through Jesus the thoughts of God was made audible. It is interesting that Jesus would pick up on this point in the prayer that he prayed before going to the cross. John 17, come with me there. John 17 and verses 3 and 4 we read, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." What do we find? What we find in these verses is that in all that Jesus did, his whole aim was to point the person to Christ, to his Father. There was no thought of self. It was all about showing what the Father was like and his love for the human race. But you see, this experience was not just for the benefit of the human family. There were also other worlds that were looking on. And they would also be getting a revelation of the love of God. For the angels, for the redeemed ones, understanding and appreciating this love of God would be a subject that would last forever. We will never get to the depths of that love. And my friend, that love is still real. It is still there for you and for me today. But to look at that love, where do we start? To fully appreciate the babe of Bethlehem, what do we need to consider first? What do we need to understand? Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 we read, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Psalms 95, come with me there. Psalms 95. Psalms 95, verses 3 to 6. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You see what's happening here? The babe that is lying in that manger was the same one who put everything into place. He was the Creator. He was our Creator. And even though sin has marred this planet, there is still a lot out there that reminds us that we still have a Father in heaven that loves and cares for each one. Have you found that? Have you discovered that for yourself? But as we take in the scene of this baby lying in a manger and beginning to appreciate who he really was, we find another attribute that must not be overlooked. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 28 and 29. Then Jesus said unto them, We have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And verse 34, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I speak not of my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. As we take in these words, what do we find about Jesus? You see, what we find is one who was always looking to put his Father in heaven first. There was no self in the attitude of Jesus. He was always about doing the will of his Father. He did not want it any other way. It is interesting to know that even though God knew that sin was going to happen, a plan was put into place for the saving of the planet that would fall. And with the creating of this plan, the purpose of the plan was for the saving of those who would fall. The point is that God is not willing for any to be lost. He wants all to have a place in his kingdom. We are reminded of the words of John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved... Can you finish it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. In the giving of his Son Jesus, God gave the best that he had. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you that much. You are so special to him, and he wants you safe with him one day. You know, it is interesting to note the difference of attitudes of both Satan and Jesus. To consider the attitude of Satan, I take you to the book of Isaiah. Come with me there. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And in verses 13 and 14 we read, For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High. What an attitude. What an attitude for an angel to have. Sure, he may have been the number one angel, but the point is, he was only that, an angel. But now, Jesus. Keeping in mind that Jesus was the Creator, what was his attitude? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 6 to 8. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a contrast. What a contrast between Satan, who was so eager to put himself up, and Jesus, our Creator who was willing to make himself low so that we could be saved. One was out to destroy, one was out with self-exaltation. The other one was willing to be made humble. He was willing to die to save. But see, we need to remember that Jesus was God. That little babe at Bethlehem was God. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In verses 1 to 3 we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, our Creator, he was God. But then we come to John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was made like us. And in the coming to this planet, then this means that he can relate to all that we go through. He can appreciate the hurts that we suffer. He can appreciate the disappointments that we have. But you know, is that true? Can He really relate? Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we have a beautiful promise. A promise that is so special. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's beautiful, that, isn't it? For we worship not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. This adds to that. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. What a thought. That we have such a Saviour that can relate what we experience. He can truly relate to what we are going through when He hurts. When we hurt, He hurts. And the assurance is given that we can come to Him boldly, knowing that we will be heard. That's good news. But you know, it is not just enough to simply look like us. That's only part of the equation. We have to take into account also the attitude of Jesus. And in looking at the attitude, what do I find? We find a willingness to do the will of His Father in heaven. Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. And in verse 8 we read, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. Jesus found delight doing His Father's will. You see, by His humanity, He touched humanity. By His divinity, He touched the throne of heaven. As the Son of Man, He gave an example of obedience. As the Son of God, He gives us the power to obey. It was Jesus who, when speaking to Moses at the burning bush, declared, I am that I am. When He came to this planet, He declared that He was the I am. The child of Bethlehem, the meek and lowly Saviour, was God, manifest in the flesh. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the Living Bread. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the assurance of every promise. I am. Be not afraid. God with us is the surety of our deliverance from sin, the assurance of our power to obey the law of heaven. But you see, it is just not enough for him to come to this planet. There's more to it than that. In coming to this planet, he also had to face the way of saving this planet, and it would not be easy. For you see, to save you and me, it also meant that he would have to lower himself and face Calvary. And when you take in that scene, the scene of Calvary, what do you see? Do you now see this little babe of Bethlehem growing up, a man hanging on a cross for you? Do you see in this scene his love for you? And yet that is the depth of his love, the willingness to die on a cross for you. You know, it's an interesting thing. Satan was hoping to put a gulf between us and God. And yet with all that took place, we now find that we are bound to heaven in a way that is very special. Going back to John 3:16, we read that for God so loved the world that he gave. In that verse there are many words that we consider as being key words to that verse. But the word I want to grab hold of today is the word gave. Gave. Jesus is the, shall we say, the original Christmas gift. Jesus was a gift from heaven. He was a gift that is ours to keep. He will always identify with this planet because of the fact he will always have a human body. He is the permanent gift to this place. I think of Isaiah chapter 9. Come with me there. Isaiah chapter 9. And in verse 6, Isaiah put it so beautifully. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a statement. To us this child is given. This child is God's gift to the human race. Forever. Jesus, who became a member of the human family, took that body back with him to the heavenly throne room, where he is now interceding on our behalf. Which means that we do have an older brother up there in heaven that is looking out for us in a way that is special. By love's self-sacrifice, the inhabitants of this little planet are bound to their Creator in bounds of indissolvable union. And then, through the endless ages, as the redeemed walk in the light of the Lord, in heaven, they will sing praises for his unspeakable gift. What was that gift? Emmanuel, God with us. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. And the world of sin where so many calamities are happening, how wonderful it is that we have that hope. What a gift. May we appreciate that gift. May we appreciate that gift all the more as the days go by. And so, dear Heavenly Father, in appreciation of a gift, in love of that gift, may we choose to follow you faithfully and to love you more and more until that day when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, and then may we know the joy of seeing him face to face and to go home to heaven to see the things which he has prepared for those who are faithful. May we each be among that number is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen.